from WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, September 14th. Coming up, some farmers are trying to learn just how much carbon they can keep out of the atmosphere by putting it in the ground. We'll learn more about new carbon capture research in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Nuclear giant Exelon says it will not move to permanently shut down two of its plants in Illinois, one of which was slated for closure yesterday. That's after the Illinois Senate passed major energy and climate legislation that will give the company nearly $700 million in ratepayer subsidies. Hannah Meisel has more.
That ratepayer subsidy has been settled for months, but was subject to a much larger deal on how to get Illinois on a path to 100% renewable energy. A summer-long stalemate finally resolved last week, and the resulting deal means coal and natural gas-fired power plants in Illinois must cut 40% of their carbon emissions by 2038. Or face closure. But Republicans and business groups are worried renewable energy won't be nearly as reliable as fossil fuels, meaning Illinois could end up buying energy from dirtier sources out of state. Here's GOP State Senator Chapin Rose of Mahomet.
Also, you guys can issue press releases that you're getting rid of carbon. Huzzah! We're clean and green! What's gonna come back from Indiana and Kentucky, folks, is carbon! But we're gonna pay more for it.
The deal mandates 40% of Illinois' power be derived from wind and solar sources by 2030. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Illinois high schools will be required to offer a media literacy class in 2022, but some schools are already integrating it across their entire curriculum. Neuqua Valley High School in Naperville has been working with media literacy researchers and experts to teach it to all of their freshmen since before the pandemic. Adrian Toomey teaches biology, where combating health misinformation has become crucial inside and outside of the classroom.
My favorite activity was the videos of how they fact-checked their different TikToks. That was so great for me because I could see inside their brain. Like, it was a great example of metacognition.
She says they teach tools like lateral reading to evaluate articles and social media posts. Toomey says having buy-in from every teacher and every class helps instill media literacy strategies, but it's going to take more than 1 year for it to become a reflex. President Biden's order mandating COVID-19 vaccines for large private employers has brought calls for clarity from the business sector and outright opposition from some Republican governors. But an Illinois State University professor says there's nothing unusual about the approach. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows has more.
Management and Human Resources Professor Heather Gia says employers want employees to get vaccinated so workplaces can return to normal. But incentives for vaccination haven't convinced enough people.
They want to get back to business. They want productivity. They want their employees back in the office, but they also need to do it in a safe and helpful way. And if they can't get that through incentives, they unfortunately have to go the mandate route.
Speaking on the 21st, Gia says having the government require vaccinations or, in their absence, regular testing creates a level playing field for employers. But she says they're still seeking specific answers about how the mandates will work in real life and how they would affect worker turnover. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign County public health officials reported two new COVID-19-related deaths yesterday, a woman in her 60s and a man in his 40s. There have been a total of 180 deaths related to the virus in Champaign County. There were 49 new COVID-19 cases in the county yesterday. The number of active cases is around 950, a drop of more than 100 from Sunday. 22 county residents with COVID-19 are hospitalized. Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves a broader region, is reporting 72 patients hospitalized with COVID-19. That's down slightly from a week ago. 22 COVID patients are in the ICU, the same number as last week. Still to come, we'll take a closer look at new research on carbon capture technology for farmers. That story from Harvest Public Media is next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Some Midwest farmers are getting involved in a research project to help determine exactly how good some practices are for the environment, specifically in reducing the amount of carbon emissions going into the atmosphere. Harvest Public Media's Jonathan All reports the goal is to have the data necessary to make good decisions and possibly good money in the coming years.
Matt and Kate Lambert farm in north central Missouri, and they pride themselves on being good stewards of the land. Matt says they took on planting cover crops a few years ago to help maintain the soil and prevent erosion, which you can see looking out over their field of knee-high soybean plants.
And as you look out across the field, you can see the heads of the cover crop, which is cereal rye and triticale, still kind of poking up through the bean canopy from what didn't get killed or knocked down when we planted the beans.
Planting cover crops is believed to aid in carbon sequestration, or keeping carbon in the ground and out of the atmosphere. But exactly how much isn't clear. That's why the Lamberts are involved in a multi-year research project run by Missouri Corn and Missouri Soy to try to define how much they help. Kate Lambert says it's all about getting the data to know fact from speculation.
And I think that is the goal, ultimate goal of this project, is to say what's happening and what's it worth so that everybody involved in it can then make better decisions.
Derek Steen is the Director of Environmental Services with Missouri Soy. He says while the first step is to get the data, the hope is farmers can better take advantage of carbon markets where they can sell their carbon credits for the best price and know they are getting a fair deal.
I mean, there's no doubt that that is important and will continue to be important, especially if growers are to be rewarded or financially or otherwise for the improvements, because you've got to have a baseline.
Steen is also quick to point out that the research isn't just about the money or the potential of it, but also to know just how friendly an environmentally friendly farming practice is. But the looming prospect of farmers selling carbon credits and getting a financial windfall has some people very concerned.
These types of carbon market schemes have had a lot of problems.
Ben Lilliston is the Director of Rural Strategies and Climate Change at the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. He says attempts at operating a successful carbon credit market failed 10 to 15 years ago, largely because big polluters were looking to absolve themselves by paying a very small amount of money to people already doing the right thing. He says that problem hasn't been addressed. Even a 3 to 5 year study like the one in Missouri won't really provide useful data. Lilliston says it still may be unclear how much farming practices like no-till, cover crops, and strategic fertilizing will actually do in the long run.
Being able to measure precisely over time, and that's the key, is that when you bring in that carbon into the soil, it needs to be permanent, because if it's released, then you can't take advantage of the carbon market.
Still, the Lamberts and other farmers like them say some data is better than none. Matt Lambert says if carbon markets start up again, he wants to have as much information as he can.
And I'm afraid what's going to happen is those companies that are doing that are going to be the ones that are going to be making the big money off the carbon.
And even if the carbon markets don't come back or seem to be a bad deal for farmers, Kate Lambert says the information on carbon capture will be useful for people who have for centuries been dedicated to preserving the land that has given them their homes and livelihoods.
All of the farmers around this area that we know and work with are extremely interested in doing what's right, but it can't only be what's right for the environment. It has to also be cost efficient and time efficient and available.
And knowing how much carbon is sequestered will be an important step to answering those questions. Jonathan All, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies with a chance of a thunderstorm late in the day and a high of 89 degrees. That's all for today. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Peter Medlin, Jim Meadows, and Jonathan All. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulmean. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.